Welcome back, finally, to another episode of Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries. As we always say, please know that this will be the one place where you can always ask the tough questions about God, Messiah, and the spiritual issues of life. We might not always know the answer, but we will explore it together until we discover the truth. I know I said this a long time ago, but I believe we can finally, hopefully, maybe, establish a regular schedule for our podcast soon. No promises, but I am hoping. Why? Because there are so many important questions that need to be asked and answered. On an emotional, sociological, and especially spiritual level. And unless people have been asleep under a rock for the last few months, and especially the last few weeks, the upheaval created in this country as a result of a simple hashtag, Me Too. This is one that needs to be addressed. But I promise you, this is not going to be a podcast about Dr. Christine Blasey Ford or Justice Kavanaugh, even though I have an opinion about that whole debacle. This is not going to be a podcast about the politics of the Me Too movement. This is not going to even be a podcast about the emotional deafness of many individuals on both sides of the issues. And trust me, it's going to be hard for me not to go off on a rabbit trail. This instead is going to be a podcast about simply the most important question that nobody is really asking. What would Jesus say about the Me Too movement? And because you know me, hopefully you know me, and my tendency to define things, let's define exactly what is the Me Too movement and what it is not. Because I did some research, which is my habit. Did you know that the phrase itself is more than a decade old? I learned something, and I like to do that. Because I researched the phrase, and according to a Chicago Tribune article dated October the 11th of this year, the phrase began in 2006 when a woman named Tarana Burke coined it to help women who had survived sexual violence and sexual assault. The phrase laid dormant, for lack of a better word, until the scandals of Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, Al Franken, Roy Moore, Charlie Rose, et cetera, and countless others erupted into a cacophony of women's voices saying, enough. In fact, the one-year anniversary of the hashtag MeToo is on the 15th of this month, when the actress Alyssa Milano from My Generation, Who's the Boss, and a more recent generation, Charmed, asked men and women who had been sexually assaulted to simply reply with the hashtag MeToo on a tweet that she had, you know, Twittered. I know that's not right. Who had been sexually assaulted with just that phrase, MeToo. And it was on the 15th of October of last year. Within 24 hours of her tweet on her Twitter page, she had over 40,000 people who just tweeted, Me Too. And since that 15th of October and those 40,000 people saying, Me Too, it has erupted into a movement of millions of people just saying, Me Too. And again, I found that on a Chicago Tribune article. And I'm still learning how to do this. I'm going to try to give you the link of these Chicago Tribune articles on the link on the podcast article link. No promises, but I'll try. And if you want to find the link, just email me. I'll give you the email address at the end. And I'll give you the link for the Chicago Tribune article. I'm still learning how to do all this. And I'll try to send it to you. But it's just fascinating how just two words have started a movement. Me too. And but fortunately and blessedly, I've never been assaulted. I was saved from being a 1 in 5 statistic because, you know, 1 in 5 women have been assaulted. But I have to tell you something, and very few people know about this. When I was in junior high, I was groomed to be assaulted by a popular teacher. I was young. I was awkward. I was insecure. I was a nerd. And a lot of different circumstances saved me from being a 1 in 5 statistic, including my dad walking into the gym at just the right time. Thank you, Dad. And all of these events came back to me over the last few weeks. And however, this incident made me realize how easy it could have been for me to be a Me Too statistic. Therefore, I have done a lot of thinking and reflecting over the last few weeks about the most important and overlooked question in this whole issue. Because we talk about the politics of Me Too, the emotions of Me Too, but we don't talk about the spirituality of Me Too. And so I've been doing a lot of thinking about that question. And what would Jesus say about the Me Too movement? And I want to share that with you today. I believe the first thing we have to realize about Jesus is that when he was here on earth, and even to this day, he engaged and engages women as equals. As you consider his involvement with women during his earthly ministry, one begins to realize how active women were. Mary and Martha are named alongside their brother Lazarus. These women are the ones who talk to Jesus and, in fact, confront him with questions. Why did you let our brother die? Oh, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You know, Lazarus never talked in Scripture. But Mary and Martha did all the talking. Mary is praised for sitting at his feet and learning, which was unheard of in Jesus's time for a woman to learn. And think of, if you ever saw the old movie Yentl with Barbara Streisand, you know, women weren't allowed to learn in Jesus's time. But Jesus praises Mary for wanting to learn and sitting at Jesus's feet to do it. And he even says that what Mary's doing is the best thing that a woman can do. And you know what? Jesus might have wept over Lazarus in John 10, but he talked to Mary and Martha. And that's significant because men didn't talk to women, but Jesus did. And another quick example. I know there is a lot of unnecessary controversy over the relationship of Mary Magdalene to Jesus, and that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But there is no question as to the fact that it was Mary who first saw Jesus resurrected. There is no question that Mary's story of being delivered from 7 demons, and maybe she was the woman who was caught in adultery and forgiven for her sins, is significant. Mary's presence at the cross and at the grave tells us that Jesus saw women where they were and where they could be in relationship to him. Bottom line, Jesus saw women in a culture in which they were invisible, but they weren't invisible to him. Jesus saw women as visible and important and valuable. And that's important. I could go on and on and on with other examples, including the passage in Galatians in which Paul writes that there is no difference between men and women because we are all the same in our relationship with Jesus. However, I want to get back to the question, what would Jesus say about the Me Too movement? He would be outraged, enraged, disgusted that any man would think he could assault a woman and violate her and rape her. Rape and any type of assault is forbidden throughout Scripture. And while we might be uncomfortable, and I'm uncomfortable, with some of the guidelines that the Torah provides for a rape victim, and we can get into that, and I'll answer any questions you might send to me, but for time's sake, I can't get into that here. We have to realize that the steps that the Torah provides actually was a blessing and a protection for women. And those steps were to protect a woman who was raped, because in the time of the Torah, a rape victim had no protection whatsoever. If a woman was raped in the time of the Torah, they were cast out and left and were given no protection whatsoever. So the guidelines in the Torah, as uncomfortable as they might make us today, were actually to protect her and give her some measure of security. And that's what God did for women, because he saw them, and times were different, and God despised, and still does, the degradation of women. And consequently, and sadly, the New Testament times were no different. But Jesus saw them. Jesus saw women as they were and are, valued and loved. Paul recognized, the writings of Paul, recognized women as equal in the sight of the church and in the sight of God. In fact, the Pauline writings commanded that husbands were to love their wives as Jesus loved the church. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. And that might sound odd today, but in the times of the Romans and the Roman Empire, the idea of a husband to love their wives was unheard of. Wives were property. And Paul is saying, husbands, love your wives, just like Jesus loves us. That was unheard of. This was a wow moment. This was an earthquake kind of a command, like a 10 on the Richter scale. And this is why the church and the teachings of Jesus were so attractive to women in the first century, because Jesus loved and still loves women. And the idea of an assault on women is an assault on the very message that Jesus gave and still gives to women. Now, do churches blow it today? Definitely. Sometimes churches stink at it. That's not the fault of Jesus. That's not the fault of the message of Jesus. That's the fault of humanity that still sins. And that's something that we as Christians and churches and believers in Jesus need to do better. And that is why it is so wonderful that Jesus came into the world as the greatest love example of them all. And we need to do better. And churches that don't get it need to ask for forgiveness. But I wanted to give you the biblical truth about what Jesus would say. And if you want to engage more with us, which I know would mean argue with us as well, then do it. This is why we have established the website Explore Messiah, exploremessiah.com, for those who are searching but are not yet ready to accept the message that we sometimes bring. And we have a discussion board called Cafe Kahila that we would love to engage with you on it. Check it out. Consider the questions that we have posted and engaged. Because we've asked a tough question today, an emotional question. And we've reached the end of another episode of Explore Messiah with Sadaka Ministries. And if you want to ask a personal question, or if you want us to explore another question, please email us at info@sadakaministries.org. And please know that this will be the one place where you can always ask the tough questions about God, Messiah, and the spiritual issues of life. We might not always know the answer, but we will explore it together until we discover the truth. Shalom, God bless, and talk to you later.